So our scripture today is from James. It's chapters 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and if we curse people who are made in the likeness of God, from the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So I called this for good or evil. So when we think about teachers, we almost automatically think about teachers in school or universities, colleges. But when they talk about teachers in the Bible, they're really talking about religious leaders. So for them, a person, so let's say Paul comes into your area, he starts a new church, he's going to move on. He's not staying to be that person that's going to take care of the congregation. It's going to be a teacher, someone that he's left behind. And so that person is supposed to be held in really high honor. They were going to stay and work the congregation. They were really going to be the pastors of those churches that were started. But what he's telling them here is, you have to be really careful about what you say to people. And so he tells them to teach the truth, not their opinions or prejudices. And so we all have opinions and we all have prejudices. I don't like doctors, okay? Sorry. And the only thing worse than a doctor is a lawyer. And you all know my oldest daughter's a lawyer, and she knows that I feel that way about her profession anyway. And so those are my prejudices. And we all have those. But what you have to do is to make sure that if you're speaking for God, and whether I do that as the pastor or you do that when you're sharing your faith with somebody else, you have to make sure those prejudices don't get in there, that you're telling the truth. And so you want to make sure that you're telling God's vision in your teaching, in your speaking, because it's not supposed to be, I've said this before, it's not the book of Ed. It's the book of Mark or Luke. And you're sharing what God has shared with them. You're not sharing my point of view on those things. And so how many of you like Spider-Man movies? It's okay. I like them too. And in the first one, in the very first one, he talks about with great power comes great responsibility. Well, if you're the leader of a church or the leader of a congregation or you're leading somebody to the Lord, that prestige response, that honor that comes with that requires great responsibility. And so you have to be really careful. Now, how many of you have looked at your tongue today? Okay, there are a few hands. I do when I brush my teeth. I can't help myself. Plus, when I shave, I have to Michael Jordan it and get my tongue out so I can get stuff done. But we don't often look. And so, I mean, the tongue, I don't really know how big the tongue is. I mean, I only see the part that we can stick out. But it really controls a lot of what our body, how we look to other people, the way we talk. And that what is what he's doing here. He's saying that all of us are capable of slipping up, was the term he used in the commentary I read, to say something that's wrong, to make a mistake. And he says almost all of it's caused by something that we say. Something that we say. And so he gives us two examples. I don't know anything about horses. Anybody here a horse person? Okay. So I don't even understand how the bit works. I know you put it in their mouth. It must irritate the horse a little bit. Is that true?
It helps guide.
And so a bit's only like that big, right?
Yeah,
and a horse weighs 1,000 pounds. So a little piece of metal that small can guide that horse around. And a ship, whether it's a pontoon, a rowboat, or the biggest ocean liner in the world, when you look at the rudders compared to the size of the ships, they're nothing. And that's what he's saying. He said, you don't have to have something really big to control this. And so he's saying this tongue, for as little as it is, how much damage it can destroy. So there's the picture on the calendar this month is of Yellowstone National Park. It's one of the geysers. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a chance to go there. It's really interesting. It's like four different worlds in that however many thousands of acres. But we were there after a forest fire had been about 4 years. And I'd never really seen what a forest fire can do before. And it absolutely burned, I don't know how many thousands of acres, as you came in the south end of the Yellowstone Park. And there was only green from about the grass about 4 feet up. And all those trees that burned in the fire, the trunk of the tree was still there, but there wasn't a thing on it. It just had burned it completely to nothing. And they said it would take like 15 or 20 years for that stuff to grow back, because the fire almost just kills everything in the ground. It just burns up everything because of the intensity. His example here is, when we let our tongue get away from us, it can create that kind of destruction all around the world. Now, I've told you guys before, the commentary I usually use is written by William Barclay. He wrote it in the 1950s, which some of us were born then, a lot of us weren't. But think about how that damage has changed in that time. And so he talks about damage from a distance. So if I say something here and it travels all the way to Parker City. I'm not doing Yorktown jokes anymore. All the way to Parker City, you know, that's a pretty good distance. If you type something into your phone and text it to somebody that's evil, bad, how many times does that get passed on? And what distance can it travel? If you put something on YouTube and then put it out there, it goes clear around the world. Facebook, whatever you want to do. And so when we talk about when this was written 2,000 years ago, I would be surprised if they could even imagine the way you could take a message that was evil and pass it around the world the way we can now. And so we have to be really, really careful about what we say and do. Because it's not just the immediate. It doesn't matter what happens now. There's a picture. Someone's got it on their cell phone, right? And they're sharing it, whether it's good or bad. And usually it's bad, because if it was good, they wouldn't share it. And so he's saying here that once this begins, once you spread this, it's almost impossible to stop. When the internet was just starting and our girls were in high school then, we cautioned them not to say anything on the internet that they didn't want a potential employer to read when they were going for a job interview. And I know, because you see it happen, that things that people put out there that they thought were cool, when they did them, comes back to haunt them, and they end up not getting a job. And so, who was it? The Jeopardy guy who was kind of a director, producer for the show. He was going to be the new Alex Trebek, and he posted something, I think it was on Facebook or YouTube, 10 years ago. It was a long time ago, and they brought it up and said, well, because of what you said, you know, then, you can't, he got a lot of pushback. Now, I think that shows a total lack of forgiveness, because A, what he thought 10 years ago might not be what someone thinks now. But right now, we live in a society of, it's a, what I would call gotcha. If somebody can find something that you said or did, whether it was 2 weeks ago or 100 years ago, well, look, that's what they believe or think, and they're an awful, terrible person for that. Well, people change. What you thought sometime in the past may not be what you think now. But he gives this example of controlling wild animals. And when I read this a couple of weeks ago, we had just got back from the zoo. And you think about the zoo animals and how, I don't know that we control them, we just kind of pin them up. And you can't put like a leopard with anything else it could eat because it would eat them. And it was funny to me that day they were feeding the tigers at the Indianapolis Zoo and they had a sign up that said, this display might not be acceptable for all people. And I thought, well, what's the problem? And it said, we've just fed the tigers and they are given raw carcass meat. And so if you had little kids, you may not want them to see them eating. I could not even tell what it was, but whatever it was, it may not be suitable for small children. And so he's saying that we have that ability in a lot of ways to control animals, but yet we don't have the ability to control our own tongues. So he talks about the tongues are either a blessing or a curse, because you can use them to throw great help to people, to tell them how wonderful they are and how grateful you are and how you wanted them, you're thankful for what they did for you. So the other day I mowed the grass. My wife wanted me to cook hamburgers for lunch. Apparently the smoke smelled good because I got neighbors on both sides helping me cook. One of them said, how many hamburgers are you making? I said 8. And she said, for only the two of you? And I said, well, when I cook them, I like to do them all at one time and we just eat them left over. I said, would you like one? She said, well, yes, I would. So I finished the hamburger, went inside, got her a bun. Before I was done, my neighbor on the other side was over. He says, what are you cooking today, Ed? Well, the smoke was going towards his house. He knew exactly what I was cooking. I go, funny enough, you should ask. I'm doing hamburgers, and Janet wanted one, so she gets one. Would you like one? He goes, no, I'm going out to eat for lunch today. And I go, you can take it now and eat it later. And he said, no, I'm good. I did have a very confusing day because when I got in, I thought there was 8 buns. There was only 7. I thought I lost one. Later on, I found out my wife had used a bun for something else. And now the whole hamburger bun thing isn't working, but that's a whole different problem. But our tongues in those cases, it was all friendly. We were talking about, you know, feeding each other and sharing the food that we had. And I had plenty as long as they didn't want anything else but hamburgers because that's all I made. It was either hamburgers or hamburgers. But at that same time, if we have a conversation with someone, and a lot of what I've talked about in the last 6 months is, it's okay to disagree with people, but find a way to do it civilly. We don't all have to agree on everything we do. It was interesting to me, I don't know if anybody watched the different shows about September 11th over the last couple days. They all sort of had a theme. They talked about how united the country was right after that happened. You didn't hear anybody saying how mean the police were and how we needed to get rid of them because they saw however many hundreds went in there and died that day. And they talked about the firemen going up a building, a stair where they had to go upstairs, hundreds of stairs, and they're running up the stairs when everybody else is running down. And it was for some length of time then the country was different. It came together. There was on the news this morning, President Bush was talking about, he said, I can't tell you what's different, what caused it, but he said, we're not together. And so this time that we live in, how are you going to use your tongue? Are you going to use it for good or for bad? Are you going to, when we talked about uplifting people a couple weeks ago, are you going to uplift people or are you going to try to tear them down? And all that begins with us. And so if we're around someone and they're not being uplifting to people, it's okay to say, you know what? I don't really find this conversation very helpful. I'd like for you to figure out a way to be more positive. And the worst is they'll get mad at you and they might walk away or you might have to walk away. But we have to put it in we have to put an end to the way that people treat each other, not civilly. And so one of the things that Barclay talked about, he said the tongue can either be a salve to soothe or it can be a sword to create a wound. And sometimes when we're talking to people, we think we're saying one thing and you can look in their eyes and thought, uh-oh, I hurt them. I don't know what I said, didn't mean to say it. And there's one of those times you go, I'm sorry, clearly what I've said disturbed you, I'm sorry, and apologize. Because sometimes we can just see that. And so I put in here, a couple times I've been really ill and was in a lot of pain, and they gave me morphine. I don't know if you've ever been on morphine before. I like morphine. It makes me really sleepy, and I'm warm, and I'm going to go take a nap. And one time the doctor comes in and Benita's trying to say, hey, you need to listen to this. I'm going, you know what? I just can't. I'm just not able to concentrate. I'm going back to sleep. When this wears off, wake me up and tell me what we're doing, okay? Because right now I'm just not capable. And so that tongue, if used right, can be helpful. And so morphine is a good painkiller, but not if you take it every day and become addicted to it. Then it's not a help. That's a good example of the tongue. It can both be as good as you want it to be and as bad as you want it to be, and you can do it just like that. It only takes a second to switch. So one of the things he said at the end, because I should have said this at the beginning, but I forgot. Sometimes Bible scriptures are practical 2,000 years ago, but we have a hard time figuring out how it applies to our life now. This isn't one of them. This was just as acceptable and needed 2,000 years ago as it is today, because this same stuff goes on. In class yesterday, one of the guys said when he first came to a church that a Wednesday night Bible study. He went to the Wednesday night Bible study, and he figured out the Wednesday night Bible study was really a place where those people in church gossiped about the community and the other people in church. And he said, I have got to put an end to this. Now, he said it took a little while because a few of them had to die off, but he put an end to that class. That would be an example of not using God's time or gifts or your tongue in an appropriate manner. What I thought was interesting, at the end of the book, he usually tries to give you something to think of. He talked about when we're talking to people, and so when I say talking, I mean communicating. So whether you're on your cell phone, whether you're texting, emailing, Snapchatting, YouTubing, what I forget.
Twittering,
Facebook, something somebody just invented today that we don't know about yet. Whatever that is, I put it all in this same speech. So when you do that, perform that function, however you do that, would you be happy if God heard or saw what you did? Or would you be embarrassed? And if you're embarrassed, it probably means you don't hit enter, send it, don't say it, don't write it, and it probably means you need to apologize for somebody if you've already started. Now, sometimes the tongue is like a forest fire and it just gets away from us. Because all of a sudden somebody says something and you think you need to respond back. And you should have thought momentarily. And I think I've told you guys before, my mom questions some of the things I say. And what I tell her is, it wasn't even the top five things I first thought of. It was like number six or below. So I worked through some of the first things I didn't think were acceptable and got down to this one. But at least take that time to make sure you're thinking through before you respond. Because you can hurt people just so easy. And for something that's as little as a tongue, and I be like a giraffe tongue. I know how big that is. They ate peanuts. I mean, it's a real long, slurpy thing. Or a snake tongue. I just don't know how big our tongues are. But for no bigger they are, they can create so much havoc in the world. And so be cautious of that each and every day. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father, be with us as we go out into your world. Let us be careful that we use your gifts in an appropriate manner for the people that we are around. Guide us and direct us in all we say and do. In your wondrous name we pray. Amen.